Good morning to those across the pond, and good afternoon, everybody here. In the UK at the moment, there is a housing shortage. The plan is that the big house builders over the next months and years should start to construct more houses to reduce that demand. I can almost guarantee that the design of those homes will invariably be very, very similar. Brickwork walls, UPVC windows, concrete roof tiles, load-bearing structure will be designed down to the absolute minimum required to ensure maximum cost efficiency, or should that be profit for the builders. Finishes inside those buildings will be a plaster on a lightweight wall. The workmanship will range from reasonable to questionable. These new housing estates that will spring up all over the countryside will all look the same. No matter where you are in the UK, whether you're in the southeast, they will look like those in the southwest. They will look like the same ones as in the north. Variety and quality over the last 50, 70 years has all been designed down to the minimum. 70 years ago, you used to be able to go around the UK and tell where you were because of the buildings, what they looked like and the materials. From a Welsh slate house in Wales to a mellow yellow limestone building, try saying that fast, a mellow yellow limestone building of the Cotswolds with stone roofs, Yorkshire stone, or the cream stone that was predominant in the building of Bath. The architecture of the country in the UK was based predominantly on the geology of the UK. In addition, if life carried on for the next 200 years with no wars or anything, I can almost guarantee that the buildings that have already been standing for 200, 300, 400 years would still be standing. The ones we are currently building would be long gone. Not only has workmanship disappeared, but the quality of materials being used in construction today has been reduced down to the lowest common denominator to ensure maximum profit for the builders. This afternoon, I just want to look at the quality of the buildings and the materials that will be used in the construction in the millennium. Look around this hall. We've got some brickwork over to my right. It's not a bad brickwork. It's got some variety in it, but it's a very clinical material. Very rectangular, very even, and mortar joints between them. They're pretty much the same. Okay, as an architect, yeah, I do like a little bit of brickwork. But given what we were going to be building with in the millennium, I doubt we will be using bricks. And it's also interesting, if you turn with me to Genesis, please, the first mention of bricks and who used them. In Genesis 11, and starting in verse 2, and it came to pass as they journeyed from east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. Then they said to one another, come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone and asphalt for mortar. And they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. So the first mention of bricks were by mankind who was rebelling against God. They were building cities, house upon house, to build a name to themselves. But why would you use brickwork? Well, it's significantly cheaper and faster, and a lower skill set is required than working with stone. When cathedrals and the churches in the Middle Ages were being built, you could only build about a metre and a half of stonework every year. Otherwise, the weight of the stone would squash the mortar out of the joints. Compare that to brickwork. Same amount of brickwork can be laid every day. It's a lot cheaper and easier to build a name for yourself out of bricks. Look at the stonework we've got in this hall. It's really quite nice stone. You know, it's a natural material, it's got texture, it's got colour. But the quality of this stonework is actually quite a low-grade stone wall. It's just been built by random by the person that was building it. There was no great design in it. He had some stones outside that he just picked up, one that suited the one that was next to it. And as you can see, quite a lot of mortar is used. It's quite quite nice. Makes the brickwork look rather bland. But it's quite a cheap wall, this one. In today's economic world, there is normally very little use of natural stone. In the UK, we use a lot of reconstituted stone. But in the Middle East, where there is still money available, buildings are made with really good quality stone. It costs a lot at the moment. But the variety of stone that is available, did you know there's 61 different types of natural stone? And that's just the families of stone. Each one has got variety upon variety. If you look at marble, you've got a pink marble, a blue marble, a grey marble, all with different grains running through them. The quality, just to look at them, is absolutely amazing. As Mr. Henderson mentioned the other day when he was talking about diamonds, stones in their natural hewn state are quite dull and quite boring. But you take stonework and you polish it and you carve it, it becomes very ornate. Look at the timber in this room. We've got some timber beams up above us, the door's made of timber, there's some flooring upstairs which is timber and some balustrades and the window frames. Cheap pine. And if you go up and feel it afterwards, it's quite a coarse texture to it. It's a cheap timber which doesn't last very long and it's been finished quite cheaply. When you have an exotic hardwood that's oiled and polished, it glows, it shimmers. And when you go up and touch it, it is like velvet. And the smell of some of these woods is absolutely amazing. That adds a character to the building. Let's look at the construction of the Temple of God, which Solomon's built. If you turn, please, to 1 Kings 6. Now, this is a building. I think it's probably the first prefabricated building of all time. Totally built off-site. Now, the detail and the design that had to go into it to be able to do that is amazing. Everything had to be worked out beforehand. All of the stones had to know, the builders had to know where each stone was going so it could be carved and shaped to the right shape. 1 Kings 6, just starting in 2, just to get context. Now the house which King Solomon built for the Lord. So it's talking about the temple. And then just dropping down to verse 6. The lowest chamber was 5 cubits wide, the middle was 6 cubits wide, and the third was 7 cubits wide. For he made narrow ledges outside, around the outside of the temple, so the support beams would not be fastened onto the walls of the temple. I hadn't noticed this before. There was no structural loading onto the temple. All of the structure was transferred to these ledges outside the building. So, you know, you've got to know the design of how this temple is going to work to make sure that that doesn't happen. Then verse 7, and the temple, when it was being built with stone, finished at the quarry, so that no hammer or chisel or any iron tool was heard in the temple while it was being built. So each of these stones had to be numbered, had to be cut, polished, and ensured that it would fit within the building without any on-site modifications. No mortar joints. The stonework would not only give structural support to the building, but the mass of stonework in a hot climate actually regulates the temperature within the building. So there is a good reason why stonework was used. Not only the fact it would last for hundreds and hundreds of years. If we were doing it today, I'm sure we would use steelwork or a timber-framed construction because it wasn't load-bearing. But the stonework would control the temperature that was inside, so it would still be a comfortable temperature. Dropping down to verse 15, and he built the inside walls of the temple with cedar boards, and from the floor of the temple to the ceiling he panelled them and the inside with wood, and he covered the floor of the temple with planks of cypress. Then he built the 20-cubit room at the rear of the temple from floor to ceiling with cedar boards. He built it inside as the inner sanctuary, as the most holy place. And in front of the temple sanctuary, 40 cubits long. The inside of the temple was cedar, carved with ornamental buds and with open flowers. All was cedar, so there was no stone to be seen. So this stonework was totally overlaid with cedar that was carved in amazing detail. But cedar, this cedar that was used, was the Lebanon cedar of the cedrus family of tree, which is a spicy, resinous wood, which is scented, so you would have the smell within. And the oil in this cedar is a natural repellent to moths, so you wouldn't have any moths inside the building, you know, eating the veil that was there. It is also used to absorb moisture, to make sure that the air, you know, the moisture temperature, moisture level remain constant. And it is also a natural deodorizing material. So it wasn't just, let's use timber. It was a specific timber with specific characteristics. Dropping down to verse 19, and he prepared the inner sanctuary inside the temple to set the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord there. The inner sanctuary was 20 cubits long, 20 cubits wide, 20 cubits high. He overlaid it with pure gold and overlaid the altar of cedar. So Solomon overlaid inside the temple with pure gold. He stretched gold chains across the front of the inner sanctuary and he overlaid it with gold. The whole temple he overlaid with gold until he finished all the temple. Also, he overlaid with gold the entire altar that was in the inner sanctuary. So the whole building, all this ornate, wonderful timber that we would look at and be gobsmacked with, was overlaid with gold. But it was all designed well in advance, fully detailed up. I'm not going to go into it, but the cherubs that were carved there, they were carved out of olive wood. These were 4.5 meters each. Olive wood is a very hard wood, and it's prized for its durability, its colour, and its interesting grain patterns. Because of the importance of the fruit and relatively small size of a tree, olive wood and its products are relatively expensive. We would have looked at these carvings, and we would have loved to have had something that beautiful just standing there in timber in our own homes, and yet it was overlaid with gold. It's interesting, there's no mention of brickwork in the temple. God demonstrates that he is interested in quality. There's no 5mm British standard tolerance and we're allowed to use mastic to fill the gap up. Everything fitted perfectly to the highest quality. The materials used were specifically chosen because of their characteristics. The building we're in at the moment, as this hall here, was built by selecting stones at random and putting them in and building it on an ad hoc basis. The temple, every single stone, the builders knew where it was going before it was even brought to site. In the millennium, the buildings will be constructed with the same quality of construction, the same quality of materials. We won't be using today's building standards or building codes because the houses wouldn't last. God's temple was designed to last. And had God not allowed it to be torn down, I'm sure it would still be standing today because of the quality and the materials that were used. Houses in the millennium will predominantly be using local materials, but you know, there's no reason why certain materials can't be brought in from certain distances. They will be crafted and polished, not like the rough hewn stone that we see behind us. And in addition, there won't be air pollution attacking the stone buildings. So one of the biggest causes of stone decay in the UK at the moment is air pollution. The weather will be resolved, climate will be sorted out. So a mass stonework building will regulate the temperature. It will be a comfortable building to be in. And it won't be a dark, dingy Welsh stone house. It will be light and airy. We have the skills to be able to construct stone buildings with large windows. Picture the village meeting hall or your house laid out in a landscaped grounds. Won't have that electronic security gate at the front of your property. Your house will be built, I would suggest, out of stone. Maybe lots of different types of stone next to each other, polished, carved, and set in place. No big, fat, ugly mortar joints that you see more outside of this building. They will be really, really beautiful. Maybe there will be verandas outside, ornate woods, carved. The scent of them, hopefully keeping the midges at bay when you're sitting out. Inside, timber hardwood floors, exquisite grain patterns, and the variety of timbers. We've got just one colour of material, wood, in this hall. You've got woods that are red, that are yellows, that are dark colours, black colours. You juxtapose those together, and the quality that you will get and the intricacy, you won't have thousands upon thousands of houses all the same, you know, looking the same, all laid out on housing estates, exactly the same. Because mankind will be proper steward of this planet and the forests will be managed correctly in a sustainable way, you won't have the deforestation that has led us architects not being able to use these really nice exotic woods. Pine wood, I would suggest, will not be used in buildings in the future because it is a cheap wood and it does not last very long. And the skill set in the millennium, I mean, my grandfather made the replacement staircase in Canterbury Cathedral after the original one was destroyed after the war. His level of craftsmanship was very high. But think about it, in the millennium, 300-400 years as an apprentice before you become a master craftsman. The quality sets and the skill sets there will be amazing. And one thing that I also thought was very interesting, turn with me to Revelation 21. I thought this was rather interesting, just how much quality that God puts into things. Revelation 21, and just starting in verse 18, it's talking about the New Jerusalem. And the construction of its walls was like jasper, and the city was pure gold, like clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were C20 concrete. They were adorned with all kinds of precious stones. This is the foundations were adorned with all these precious stones. There was jasper, sapphire, chardonnay, emerald, sardonyx, sardis, crystallite, beryl, topaz. I'm just skipping down here. Some that I can't even pronounce. Jacinth and amethyst. This is the foundations. It also underlines just how important, how much importance God places on having a foundation and having a right foundation. But the cost and the detail and the precious stones that are put in just to the foundations. So in conclusion, mankind at this end time builds buildings to the minimum quality that he can get away with. The lifespan of modern buildings for houses, if you're lucky, 50 years is the design life, if you're lucky. But it's more cost effective if you just design a building to a 25-year lifespan. In the millennium, there won't be a 10-year warranty on your UPVC windows. There will be variety. There will be detailing in them. God builds with quality in mind, accuracy and detail that is all planned out in advance. The full design of the temple had to be understood well in advance to ensure that when all these elements were brought to site, they fitted together so there weren't any hammers on site, any iron instruments on site making final adjustments. Each was designed, the materials, to do a specific job with the specific characteristics in mind. Even millionaires today could not, I suggest, afford the quality and the accuracy and the detailing of the houses and the buildings we will have in the millennium. The beauty of them and the materials that we will have will be absolutely amazing. The craftsmen will be taught by those who have got amazing skills. Job, for example, you know, teaching us architects and contractors how to build properly. Skill, with such a skill set, on hundreds of years of training, with people who take pride in their work.